Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening on this Ascension Day, especially from Psalm 47, and I read the verses 5 through 7 as text verses for the sermon. Psalm 47, verses 5 through 7. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. The theme for this sermon is a song of triumph. We have 3 points. The first point, the Lord is King. Secondly, God saves his people. And thirdly, sing praises to God. So the theme is a song of triumph. 3 points. The Lord is King. God saves his people. And sing praises to God. Congregation, in the year 1940, what happened? You probably know. In that year, the German army entered the Netherlands. And so the Netherlands became involved in the Second World War. And then in those days, the Netherlands had a queen, the grandmother of the king we have now in the Netherlands. And she left the country. And she went to England, the United Kingdom. Some people said, well, that was not so good, that was not brave, because she left the country, she left the people alone. She fled. It was a flight. Was she not a coward? Well, I believe she was not. I think it was wise, because there she was of such a benefit, especially over the years, for the whole people, but especially also for the underground forces that continue to fight against Germany. So you could see all over the Netherlands people gathering in a secret place because the radio was not allowed to listen to it, and they would take it away from the people, so you had to hide it. And then they would listen and could hear the voice of the queen there in a dark corner in the house, maybe on a loft, maybe in a basement, somewhere in a barn. There they were listening, and they heard the voice of the queen speaking to the people, encouraging them and giving a report about what was done to set them free. That there would be a day, that there would be the experience of freedom. And oh, it was so dark because of the war, the danger, the hunger, the threatenings, beloved ones in prison, people died. It was so dark. But then, when they heard the voice of the Queen, then it became light in the hearts. They were not forgotten. There was someone at work for them. Their queen was at work so that they would be set free from this enemy. And they got hope in their hearts. They were willing to take the danger, to listen to it, because they needed to hear it. I thought this is a wonderful picture of what happens to the church in this world, where we experience so much darkness, isn't it? And the threatening of the enemy, Satan, who still has power, although he is conquered, still has power. You wonder how that is possible? Well, it was kind of the same in the Second World War. At a certain point, you could say Germany was conquered. After D-Day, in June, isn't it the 6th of June 1944, when they landed, the Allied armies landed in France, and Germany was not able to throw them back into the sea, then everybody knew, now Germany is conquered, is beaten, the power is broken, it's just a matter of time. And that's what the church knows. It's just a matter of time. It will not last forever, this darkness, this sorrow, these enemies, sin and Satan, and the temptation in this world, it's just a matter of time. Because we have a king. The church has a king in heaven. And that's a reason for great joy. The Lord is king. You should not forget it. Why would your heart overflow with sorrow? If you remember this reality, this truth, and that will not be the case. Yes, I understand your sorrow. But then there will be also the deep joy in your heart. There's every reason. Psalm 47 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." The voice of victory. I think we forget too much about it. I think we take Ascension Day not as seriously as we should. We think a lot about Christmas, isn't it? And about Easter. But what about Ascension Day? It may be hard for us. Christ leaving us and then taken away from our sight, like the disciples experienced when the Lord Jesus was leading them to the mountain and then speaking to them and lifting his hands, like we read in Luke 24. And then he ascended, like we also have read from Acts 1. While he was blessing them, he ascended to heaven, and they looked. They kept looking till a cloud came and took him away from their sight. And then God sent his word through the mouth of the angel that he would return. And then they were filled with joy. Yeah, we really need to hear the voice of God, the message like the disciples heard it, about the truth, about Christ. No, he didn't forsake his church in ascending to heaven. Instead of that, he is king in heaven. It was the day that he was going to sit on his throne. And there he still is, in heaven, in glory. And he is king. He is a great king, this psalm says, over all the earth. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Not only over Jerusalem or Israel or his church. No, he is a great king over all the earth. He has dominion over the whole world, the earth. Yeah, by sin, we made Satan the prince of this world. That caused all the sorrow we can see every day, all the trouble and pain. But Christ came in this world and he took over. And now he is the king, God. Christ is God, the king over all the earth. This psalm says, "The Lord Most High is terrible." What does that mean? We might not say that so much. The Lord is terrible. And this psalm says it. The Lord Most High is terrible. Terrible for his enemies. There is no enemy who can resist him successfully. No, he is terrible. They tremble with fear. Terror fills their hearts. When they see his power, his might, they cannot stand against him. And that's a cause, that's a reason for, yes, for joy, for God's people. So there's no enemy who will be able to defeat the church, because the Lord is terrible, has the power to protect against any enemy. He is a great king over all the earth. We do not know when this psalm is written. It doesn't say when it is written. We do see in this psalm a picture, a prophecy, an illustration of the ascension of the Lord Jesus. God is gone up with a shout. Was there not a shout in heaven of great joy because of the King entering his glory? God is gone up with a shout, the angels full of joy because of this victory that Christ had over the enemy of God and his church. So we do see in this psalm, we do hear a prophecy about what happened in the ascension of Christ, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. But when is this psalm written? And what was the first reason, you might ask, to write this psalm? Can we think about an historical reason in the time of the Old Testament why this psalm is written and so received by us? Yeah, you can think about it, although we don't know for sure. There are certain things we can think about. We can think about the situation where David brought the ark to Jerusalem. That was a reason for great joy, you remember? The joy David had and the sacrifices. The joy because of the ark brought in the city of Jerusalem. And because the ark is a sign of the presence of God. To show the presence of God in the midst of his people. And that filled the hearts of the people with joy. And Jerusalem was on a hill, on a mountain, Zion. And so then you could say, God is gone up with a shout. There was joy. And now God's presence was there in the midst of his people in the city of Jerusalem. Maybe it was written for that occasion. Or maybe it was written for the situation that Solomon brought the ark to the temple, which he built, which was also a cause of great joy, and he sacrificed so many sacrifices to the Lord. But some commentaries say, and we can also certainly think about such a situation, that this psalm might have been written because of a great deliverance by the Lord, that the Lord saved his people, that he gave them victory over their enemies. And in that way they saw that the Lord was gone up in his glory, in his power, showing his presence to his people to deliver them from their enemies, to defeat their enemies who tried to destroy the people of God. So you could say this psalm is a fulfillment of Psalm 46, where we read, for example, in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." A wonderful, beautiful psalm speaking about the glory, the presence of the Lord, that He is a King. So, let's try to apply it for our lives, that God, the Lord, is King. Can you say that? Is that a reason for deep joy in your heart, that God is King? Children, young people, adults, I'd like to ask you this question. Is God, is the Lord your King? Is the Lord Jesus your King? We know that the Lord Jesus went to heaven, and we have read it, such a beautiful answer in the Heidelberg Catechism, and that He is there for our benefit, that He is our advocate or intercessor. So you could say as a priest. And that's precious. That's important, that we get peace in the knowledge of forgiveness of our sins. But He is also King. That He is the one who has the power to keep us, the power to keep His church. So are you afraid sometimes? What are you afraid for? Well, there's something that could happen in my life. I mean, it can be an accident. I could lose a beloved one. I could fall in deep trouble, in a horrible sin. I know what you mean. I understand that. We hear it all the time in this world, in this life. But did you not forget about that the Lord is King? And that means that He has the power to keep you. And it also means He is ruling your life. So Christ is in heaven, but He is at work, you could say, from heaven. He is in control. He's gathering a church, but also keeping His church. And now God's children may know that He is ruling wise and good, and that all things work for good. Do you see what a blessed situation that is? That all things work for good in... Sometimes you do not dare to say it so loud, do you? How would I be if it would hit me? Yeah, then it is so, so important to know that He is my King, that He can keep me in that situation where I certainly will experience my great weakness. And then Christ, my King, He who understands everything of me, and He who is full of compassion. And maybe you say, well, Pastor, that's nice what you say, and I understand it. This is for the church, but what about me? I don't know Christ as my King. Then I would say, it is time to get to know Him. Don't delay. Then you have reason to tremble. Then you are indeed in great danger, because who will keep you against all the dangers and you being so weak? Or who will help you when you get into trials, which can happen in the providence of the Lord? Why do you say, I don't know Christ as my King? Why do you say that? Well, Pastor, it's simply the truth. Yeah, but why? He is a great King, and He is King over all the earth. In other words, He has the power everywhere, but also He has the right that the whole world, that the whole earth would acknowledge Him as King. So And that's true about you, that you acknowledge him. That you would fall at his feet and say, Lord, be my king. Did you not learn yet the truth that you cannot be your own king? You cannot discipline yourself and keep yourself and fight and overcome sin in your life? You cannot. But God, the Lord, is king. You need him. And today is the time to find him. It's not yet too late. He's a merciful king. Don't doubt that. Do you struggle with to surrender to him? I mean, to trust him? Can I really trust God? Would he really keep me? Maybe still. I hear about children of God in this world that suffer in a horrible way. Yeah. But they trust God in their sufferings. And they experience his nearness. He is a king. And one day it will be seen in full glory. But here and now it is experienced by God's children who depend on him. Isn't it true? You who know the Lord, it is true. Think about it. Never forget it. He is a king and he is saving his people. He is saving them. That's what we read in the psalm. He is saving and keeping them. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. So, yeah, Scripture does not deny that you have that battle in this life, and that experience of weakness and the power of enemies. But Scripture says God will help you to fight and overcome any enemy. And like the Lord has done that to his people, and also like he has given them an inheritance. He had given them this promised land. And so he will give his people eternal glory, much more beautiful than this land that he gave to his people, which is called the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. So, there are some thoughts about what really the situation was of the people that God helped them in such an amazing way that they were shouting for joy. Two histories we could think about especially. The one history during the reign of Hezekiah, when the Assyrians came, and they were so powerful, he could never conquer them. Then in the night came the angel of the Lord, and the angel killed 185,000 enemies. And so the Lord set his people free from this powerful army that came against them. Oh, it's not hard to see the joy, the shouting of joy of the people when they discovered this great miracle of deliverance by the Lord. Or we could also think about another history in the days of Jehoshaphat, in Second Chronicles, where the Moabites and the Ammonites came. Oh, they were so afraid. He couldn't fight those enemies. So they were praying and fasting. And then the Lord sent a servant, the prophet. And he said, the battle is not yours. Listen, king, listen, people. The battle is not yours, but God's. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And then it happened that the Lord made them fight against each other. And they destroyed each other. And what the people had to do is just go into their camp and take the spoil. And it was such an abundance, it took them 3 days to take the spoil. Yeah, isn't that a wonderful picture of ascension? That the Lord Jesus, He fought that battle all by Himself. So, what we read in the Old Testament is spoken to us as well. The battle is not yours, but God's. Do you believe that? Are you fighting in a desperate way? I don't know if I can make it. No, you cannot. I feel like I lose. Yes, you do. So listen to the Lord, that He says in His Word, the battle is not yours, but I have to overcome the enemy. Yes, but did you first listen to the Lord? The battle is not yours, but God's. And then the Lord says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. How can I stand still with such enemies, so much temptation, so many sins that come against me? Yeah, stand ye still. That is a matter of faith. That is a matter of resting in the Lord. It's such a wonderful thing if you have that, if you receive that faith in your heart, that you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See Christ and Him crucified, dying, shedding His blood. There is the salvation of the Lord. There is the power of Satan broken. Because Christ died, and now He has taken that weapon away from Satan. Satan will use the threatening and say, the sinner who sins has to die. That's written in the Word. And it's true. But then I stand and I lift up my eyes and I see the salvation of the Lord. I see Christ taking death, dying on the cross, giving His Spirit in the hands of His Father, giving Himself in the hands of the enemy, of the soldiers, giving Himself to be crucified. And I stand, and I stand, and I look, and I look. All my weakness, all my feelings of failure, all my feelings of sinfulness and death, I stand, and I see. And I see the salvation of the Lord. Do you see it? God saves His people. Just those few words, did they sink in your heart? Salvation belongs to the Lord. I could find many places in Scripture describing that. The righteous shall live by faith. He shall stand and see the salvation of the Lord. That's a commandment, you could say. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's Scripture. It's the preaching of the apostles. It's the preaching of the prophets. Oh, you can never, I know. But look the spoil. There they went. It took them 3 days. Look the spoil. Oh, they say when a king came back from the battle, then he would share the spoil. That's what David did, we read about that. Isn't that what Christ does? Oh, what a spoil. We will need eternity to fully comprehend that and to worship Him for it. The spoil of forgiveness of sins. The spoil of a defeated enemy. Satan is conquered. Scripture says that you should resist him and he will flee from you. He would never, if it was not the power of Christ that he is seeing in you. And there he has to go, like many times we read on earth, and Christ was on earth. If you think about that spoil, that Christ has conquered death, you may know, I will not die, but I will live. The sting is taken away out of death. Man, by nature, is caught in the fear of death. It's scripture, Hebrews. Read it. And people try to avoid that thinking. I want to hear music the whole day, then I don't have to think about it. I want to be very busy, then I cannot think about it. But it is true that there is a deep insight. Maybe people have pushed it so far away in a corner that they are able to deny it. That fear of death. To stand before my Creator. And then all by myself. But Christ has conquered death. And he is showing that in his resurrection. But also in his ascension to heaven. He is a great king. He has that victory. He is the one who is saving out of the hands of our enemies. Out of the power of sin. Do you feel like it's hopeless? Useless? I will always be caught in the same way in sin? That's not the language of faith. And you don't see the greatness of this King of Christ who's sitting in the throne. Do you want to say that we can be without sin? I'm not saying that. But I do say there's power in him if we, let's expect more from him and less from ourselves. You may experience that he is saving by justifying, but also by sanctifying, renewing our will, desires, heart, give us a new walk in life. And all the peace that is coming with it. Let us first sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 183, stanza 1 through 4. 183, stanza 1, O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. 183, all stanzas.
Congregation, this psalm is speaking about singing praise to God. Several times, five times, verses 6 and 7, sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Are we doing that? Are we singing praise to God? We do it when we really see what it means that Christ is now sitting in the throne in heaven and has accomplished everything, has defeated the enemies, death and sin and Satan. If you feel that burden of guilt of all your sins is taken from your shoulders, and that you are set free, that your conscience came to peace, your sins from your childhood, from your youth, you were an adult, are an adult, your single life, your married life, your sins that you did in your occupation, in your office, in your calling, in your family, all these sins, in your mind, in your words, in your behavior, that God has taken them away. Well, you say, I don't know if I do sing the praise of the Lord. Well, it says at the end of verse 7, with understanding. So, let's pay attention to these two words, with understanding. Sing praises with understanding. What does it mean, with understanding? Okay, let's try to give an example from daily life. When you are married, you know that it is good and useful to say positive things to your spouse, isn't it? I'm so glad that you have done this. I'm so thankful that you are so caring. And it might be that you know it in your mind and you just say it because, you know, I have to say it. But how much more powerful is it? And it will be sensed, it will be felt when you have been thinking about what your wife did for you, what your husband does for you all the time, and so many years, how faithful your spouse has been to you. And then you thought about it, and you see it. You have an understanding of it. It could be so different. I look to other situations in this life, in this society, and look what God has given to me in you. If you have that understanding, then, yeah, if you say then something positive, it will be felt, it comes from your heart, isn't it? And if you have thought about it, you will not be silent, you will say it. You will say it. So if you say, well, I don't know if I praise the Lord, that could be, then you are neglecting those two words. You should take time to think about all the reasons that you and I have to praise the Lord. Oh, that He gave you His Word, probably from your very early years, so that you are not caught in darkness of lack of knowledge or superstition, like heathen are. And that He also gave, oh, I pray that's true in your life, the power of His Spirit to open your heart for it. And that He has kept you over those years. And that He gave you assurance and confidence about His grace, His forgiveness of sins. That you may know that He has accepted you as a heavenly Father, as His dear child, embraced you in His eternal love. And there's so much more that Scripture is revealing That's why you have your daily devotions, isn't it? That's why you meditate upon those things, that you will have understanding. His power, His goodness, His providence in my life. He's ruling my life, and even in deep valleys of tears, that He was with me, that He has kept me and lifted me up when I fell, and healed the wounds that I gave by my sins to my conscience and heart. Oh, we can continue for hours to speak about all the things that God has given in Christ, revealed in His Word, received by faith, changing your heart, filling your heart with light, removing the darkness. Sing praises to God with understanding. There's every reason to sing praises to God. Try to understand more by simply thinking about it, remembering it. We are so forgetful. It's such a shame that we are so forgetful about the things of the Lord. We have to read it again, to come to church again, to hear it again, and so that we may see it again and praise God. Well, what does it mean to praise God? How are we going to do that? Praise God. That's a good question. To praise God is something that will start. Where does it start? It starts in your heart. Like I just used that example. And when you think about what your spouse does for you, or children, when you think about everything your parents do for you or have done for you, that's important. So that you will have gratitude in your heart and submission, willing to submit to their good advices and guidance. So, to praise starts with thinking. Starts with the heart. So how do you think about God? Or do you think about God? I have to do my work, I understand that. But there are times that you can think about things, you know. At times that you have a break. Or when you go home in the evening, or you go to your work in the morning, and you rise, and you go to bed. All those moments, how are you feeling it? Yeah. Yeah. How are you feeling it? Look around in this world. It's so busy in this world. So many people, huh? But many people, they say it's the disease of our days. Many people are lonely. Even in the Netherlands, where people live so tight together, people are lonely. Someone wrote about it in the newspaper. He said, I'm surrounded by apping and twittering people, and they're all by themselves. There was a wife who told her husband, do you not see that you're talking all the time to strangers instead of talking to your family while you're sitting in the living room? So what I want to say is, I'm not saying that everything is wrong, every app you send. I do send app to my daughters, or. But do we think about God? That's the question I want to ask. Is it time, spare time, or even while we work, maybe you have a job that you do that you can think about God. And how do you think about God? And if there's trust in your heart because you believe what He has written in His Word, and you have embraced it by faith for your own life because you need it to know this for your own heart, that this is not only true for others but also for you. You embrace Christ and the promises about Him. If that is true in your life and you think about it, it cannot be that you do not praise God, or that you will not lift Him up, that you will not exalt Him, oh Lord. Yes, it starts in your thoughts. You cannot talk all the time, maybe, probably. But, oh, that you would lift up the Lord in your heart. Lord, Thou art so good to me. That attitude. We are sinners. We don't have it all the time, but that's what we are created for. And sometimes you just don't have it. You just don't want it because you're frustrated and you're not united to the will of God. And then you have to see that rebellion, that sinfulness, and humble before God and embrace the promise that He is forgiving. And then your heart melts again, isn't it? And then again you have a reason to praise the Lord. Oh Lord, Thou art so long-suffering and patient with me. And that you praise God. Oh, let it be in your heart. Let it be in your mind. Let it be your attitude, your spirit. God looks to your heart. Let it be the way you think, that it's like an open book for the Lord. If that is the case, then it will not stop there. What the heart is full of, the mouth will flow over with, isn't it? There will be moments that you just say it. God has been so good to me. The Lord is so merciful to me. You cannot even understand it. I hope you know Him, that you will praise the Lord so that you might, could it be, make others jealous. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. It's the high calling of man in this world. That's what heaven will be. To sing praises to God. That's what the disciples did when the Lord Jesus left them. When He ascended to heaven. No, He didn't leave them. The Catechism also says that He, with His Godhead, His majesty, His spirit, His grace is always with His church. And they felt it. And so they praised Him, they worshipped Him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. That's how Luke is ending his gospel. That should be a description of our lives. Praise God with understanding. That makes the difference between, should we say, darkness and light? Isn't that true? And we praise God, light is filling our hearts. Oh, when we praise God, there's something of that light of heaven in our souls. There's a taste of that future that is prepared for God's church. Oh, dare to be with Christ and to sing His praise forever. To worship the Lamb. To give Him the glory. It's something we learn on earth. Otherwise, we will not do it in eternity. It's something we rejoice in this life. Otherwise, we will not do it in a better life. So, answer that question for yourself. If you praise the Lord, if you, in your heart, or loud out, sing praises to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to sing praises to Thee. This life is a veil of tears. But even with the tears in our eyes, sing praises to God. Oh Lord, this life has its dark nights. Only in eternity there will be no night anymore. But even in the darkness of the night, to sing praises to God. No, not because we have to, but because we got an understanding of who God is. For me, by faith, by repentance, by conversion, like Paul and Silas did in the lowest prison, in the darkest room of the prison, the darkest night, it hurting bad backs and feet, singing psalms to the glory of God. It was shaking the earth, and it was opening the doors of the prison, and that will still happen. It will shake the earth if the church would sing the praises of God more, and it would open doors of prison to set prisoners free. Lord, oh, grant us the Holy Spirit. Oh, blessed Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, ascended Savior, thou hast poured out the Spirit, fill our hearts, Lord, so that we will sing praises to God. Oh, Lord, that we will do it with understanding, so that it will be a matter of the heart, and that people will feel that it is a matter of the heart, so that it will draw their hearts to Christ as well. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word. Bless it, that we may take it in our hearts and that we may meditate on it, so that we may sing praises to God. Forgive our sins, Lord, and keep us when we go home, and also in this night. We pray in all these things, not that we deserve, but in Jesus' name. Amen.